So you return with me in your Bibles to 1 John. We're in chapter 3. And as you're turning there, I'll note something about the song we just sang. It is celebrating God's city and how blessed the people are who are dwelling there. They get grace and safety and solid truths, a sure repose and streams of living water, as that final line puts it. I like the line, solid joys and lasting treasures. I'll probably mention solid joys again a few times today. That's a chord I'd like to strike with you, something solid, and it's something that only Zion's children know. And today I'd like for us to look at a solid truth, a solid joy that does belong to God's people, even when your heart condemns you. What does that mean? As we hear these words, you can be asking yourself, maybe even, how would I outline this? How would I illustrate this? What's happening, John? You're threading so many themes together. My heart condemning me? Now what? What does that even mean? And if you have been following the series, you know that John likes the word know. And he wants you to know things, and he wants you to know with certainty. A number of things are set before us here. Maybe you'll recognize echoes from where we've been and even know that this is where he's taking us in these solid truths. And so this morning, as we conclude chapter 3, listen for the latest to know. Picking up in verse 19 through verse 24, 1 John chapter 3, as you listen, hear the word of the Lord. By this we shall know that we are of the truth, and reassure our heart before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. Let's pray together. Lord, by your Spirit, show us what you want us to know, as offered in Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. You've all seen a little baby. You may have a little baby. You've all been little babies. And likely loved as a child, held in a parent's arm, family near and far loved to cherish the child, and yet still, though beloved, the little child cries. Why? Why so restless? Why so sad? Don't you know you are loved, little child? Let me reassure you. I will rock you. I will cuddle you. I will swaddle you. I will console you. I will whisper gently to you. Daddy loves you. And yet, what it turns out, evidently, what the baby really wants is a binky. After all of your efforts to bring comfort, there's something that seems to be desired that's just made out of a little piece of rubber. They chew on it. They comfort themselves. They pacify. If you know what a binky is, it's just a chunk of rubber that somehow does comforting, soothing works. Pacifying the soul in the moment of distress. Ah, the binky. Baby wants a binky. And seemingly with that object and with that objective to calm, baby goes from crying to calm. Baby goes from sad to soothed. Baby goes from restless to resting. And in today's verses, we can see something like this at work. Burdened, distressed children moved to bliss and really boldness John takes it an extra step. Boldness. Oh, we have something way better than a binky. That's well placed at the right time. We have solid truth. Something you can chew on. Something you can see and say and know in your heart. I'm calling it objective knowledge even. And it's the scriptures. It's the scriptures. Samples of this. John's been writing to his dear little children, his beloved, as he calls them. They're in distress. There's liars in their midst. There's fear of detachment. There's evidently a need for food and for comfort, a need for rest, and not just physical rest and physical food, but spiritual rest and spiritual food. If you've ever wondered about your own relationship to the Lord God Almighty, if you really are a cherished one, and you've not received the comforts, and yet at the same time you're finding yourself with your heart effectively attacking you at times, and your feelings questioning, making you wonder, making you worry about where you stand in this relationship, as your conscience is zapped and at times just sapped by accusations from within and from without. You doubt, you despair. Am I bringing you down? What makes baby sad? What is the distress that can't always be put into words? And what is it about solid truths that make a binky so good? If you've ever had a time of agitation in your own heart, a condemning heart, where you question maybe your salvation, where you have the accuser come and accuse you of sins, reminding you of sins, and you have yourself saying, it's true, I did that. And then your conscience says, where's your faith? Where's your love? Where's your obedience? As John's been weaving throughout this letter. And the question, why? So here, when your heart condemns you, what do you do? The short answer would be to take heart. That one sounds like it's turning a phrase, that's fine. When your heart condemns you, take heart with what? With solid knowledge. Solid knowledge. Better than a well-placed binky. Something that is seeable and sure and spiritual and scriptural. As I think we're about to see. Take heart with solid knowledge that soothes and assures and says to you again and again and again when you need it, I've got five solid sayings. Here they are. I won't tell you all of them up front. But they go like this. The first is, God's love is always active in you. So when your heart condemns you, chew on this. Remind yourself. Persuade yourself. Ask the Spirit to sink it down even more deeply into your heart, especially when you get lost in times of confusion and sadness. God's love is always active in you. Dear child of God, that's what John's been saying. That's where we've been. If you look at this activity that he keeps repeating and you don't look at your own navel and get all introspective and paralyzed by your fears and your doubts, and again, your sin. Because your sin can come up behind you and the accusation from your childhood saying, remember when you did that thing? Or from last week, remember when you did that thing? When your heart condemns you. God's love is always active in you. Look at verse 19. By this we shall know that we are of the truth, and reassure our heart before him. And by this is partly related to where we left it off last time. Remember that? We talked about your love life. And there's a picture of love. There's a reality of love. Love is at work in you. And the love that is at work in you is God's love. It's not just your love. It's the love that God gave to you. And it reflects outwardly and people see it. And this reassures you. God's love is always active in you. I'm a child of God. And that looks like something. And by this, I know this. It's not by science. How do you know something? Oh, by science. No. And it's not by your feelings. Feelings are good. Feelings are part of it. But that's not why you know this first solid truth. It's because the Spirit's put it there. It's God's breathed word to you. It's Scripture. You see this, he tells you, and you're supposed to be reassured. When your heart condemns you, is the particular application here. By this, we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. Verse 24, whenever our heart condemns us. So there's the setting. Our heart condemning us. We're going to need some solid truth. We've already seen some themes, and we'll close with these again because John sets them right before our eyes in these verses. These testings of your faith, your trust, your faith, your love, your obedience, right? Keeping the commandments. So how do you know in this case? Well, the love. God's love is always active in you. And we talked about the perfect love that's revealed as, remember, God's the source. He shows us his love in his Son at the cross. And then the Spirit gives us this love to live out and return back to him. God's love is active in you. That's where John's been. That's effectively a review of his letter so far. And here we are practically in the middle with reassuring words in the setting of when your heart condemns you. Know solidly that God's love is always active in you. And then secondly, God's verdict in Christ is always acquittal. So you have this activity of love and you have this acquittal, which, if you know what acquittal is, it's you're saying someone's free. You're setting someone free. You're saying you're not guilty. I am clearing you of charges. In Christian terms, it's you're forgiven. Or as we heard already in our catechesis today, you are righteous. And this is for sure. You have a favored status. God loves you. The love is active in you, and the acquittal in Christ is sure. Verse 20 again, for whenever our heart condemns us, what? God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. He knows everything. Is that said to scare you? Now, I'll put this in here. If you're not a child of God, if you're not one of the soothed, dearly loved ones, this should scare you. Because on the face of it, it's true. God knows everything. He just does. And that's reason enough for you to turn from your sin and turn to him, to turn to Christ for his righteousness. Because it's the only way you get righteousness before God. You get it from him. And so God knows everything. He knows your heart. He knows you inside and out. He knows your deeds. He knows where you've been this week. He knows where you'll go next week. He knows that you do love the brothers. He knows, and he wants you to know. There's something solid and objective. God acts, and then you act in gratitude. So if God knows your heart completely, I brought a poem. I won't read all of it. It's actually a song. I've probably used it before. I'm not going to just give you part of it. It's called You Know My Heart. It starts like this. You know my heart. You know the corners where it's cozy dark. You know the rumors that I love to start. The lies that linger behind each remark. You know my ways. You know the habits that still haunt my days. You know the patterns I pretend are a phase. The black and white I mix to make my grays. You know my fears. You know each barnacle upon my weathered pier. You know how I've chronicled the terror through the years, the drone that's grown to drumming in my ears. And here's the chorus. But still you love this one you know so well. Still you offer heaven as I run to my hell. Still you will not mock the fallen folly that I sell. Still, you call this child back to yourself. It's just a poetic reflection of things when a heart can condemn you, when you are reflecting on realities about yourself and that are true. What do you do? And here we're saying, you look at what the Spirit's already done. God's love given to you is at work in you. It's active. And the verdict in Christ is always acquittal. And that's true today. It's true tomorrow. And as we've already seen, that's absolutely true on the final day, at the judgment. There's no condemnation for you because in Christ you are not guilty. And so we take heart and we submit to this. We stand on these truths because Jesus stands for you. He pleads for you. He died for you. He rose from the grave for you. He reigns now. And prays for you, which is another thought that John picks up on in this letter, and even as he references here, reassuring our hearts before him. It's going to be a picture of prayer And it's something that we'll need to zoom in on a little more closely. We've already confessed, by the way, I had before me, I was going to reread How Are You Right with God, because it's a direct hit. But we already did it, like I said, coincidentally. But let me remind you of what we said earlier. How are you righteous with God, or right before God? The first line, only by true faith in Jesus Christ. Check. Even though my conscience accuses me of having grievously sinned against all God's commandments and having never kept any of them, what's the nevertheless? It's the grace of God coming to you in Christ and saying you're righteous. The penalty's paid. He's satisfied. Go serve. Go live in this love. God's love is always active in you. God's verdict is always acquittal in Christ. And that leads to three things I'm going to call. I break my stride here. The first two are what God's love and God's verdict. But these are going to be things that are overflows of those two realities. We have God's love, active, God's verdict, acquittal. A very sure, solid reality, and this causes effects, and really affects, if you like the distinction there. The affect, which are your affections, so it's a feeling, but it also has effect, because it looks like something. This is what the gospel will look like hitting the ground running. You know these things that are already stated, and picking up in verse 21, John offers what we'll call three special effects, or affects. And the first one is this. You always have access to God. That would be a third point, but it's the first of these special effects. You always have access to God, even when your heart condemns you. Look with me at verse 21. Beloved, or dear little children, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. Okay, so we'll stop there. There's quite a bit going on there. There's confidence. There's a setting of prayer. We have access. You can approach. Are you part of the family? How do I tell? Well, we've looked at some. Do I have approach? Can I come into the presence of a holy God? Yeah, because you're righteous. You've been made righteous. And so in this setting of prayer, this would be an application that John is setting before us. You come before the Lord, approaching him with what's on your heart. And maybe what's on your mind feeling condemned. There's this confidence. It's a word that we'll hover around for a moment. You see it right there in the center of that. Beloved, if our heart, verse 21, does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. Okay, this is something solid. So we've seen the atonement at the cross. Check. He's been over that. Gospel truth. We have an advocate in heaven. Check. John's been over that. And this gives you confidence. Even when your heart condemns you. If you're in a relationship and you don't have confidence, let me back up. I'll put it in question form. Have you ever been in a relationship where you didn't have confidence? Where you felt like, I don't have access. I can't really approach this person safely. This could go badly for whatever reason. That's not good for a relationship. If it's a husband and a wife and they do not have confidence with each other, you can see an elder. Because there's a problem. Or parent-child. A child can't go to a parent. That's, you know, without fear or with some sort of condemnation lurking behind that approach. No, you need confidence in a relationship, not condemnation. And that's partly what is set against each other right here. Condemnation on the one hand, your heart condemning you, and then the need for confidence, that kind of soothing and solid truth, freedom to speak your mind, even as you approach God in prayer. There is now no condemnation, the apostle says, and there is now, as we see here, confidence, right? God's not condemning you. You can come freely. Does that describe you? Do you feel like you can come into his presence in prayer, asking for forgiveness? Looking to the day of judgment even, serving him boldly. You see how this is beyond a binky? There's some action here. You're not just resting passively. You're resting confidently. It's quite a picture. I hope it's describing you. Now your conscience, if you have one of those active kind, and you know who you are, and you say to yourself, and you're very serious, you're not just this false, humility. You say, "No, Lord, I did that, and I feel badly, feel very badly, and I think it's time for me to beat myself up a little bit." So effectively, you're saying, "Can I get back to you when I've done my penance?" You know that we don't have penance, right? We don't pay for our sins. It's just a simple reminder. You've heard it already today, even in the assurance of pardon. And beating yourself up when your heart condemns you is not where John is going with it. Your conscience may accuse you. I get it. The enemy accuses you. That's the accuser's job, is to accuse. That's true. But remember, we've already heard John. The Lord is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. That's assurance. And so if you are the kind of child who thinks you can out-examine God, that you can look more deeply into your head and your heart and see something that he's not seeing, you're wrong. It's part of what John means here by God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Right? And so if you know that you've been loving your brother in actions and in truth, that was where we left off in verse 18, God knows that too. In fact, he knows it better than you do. So take heart. We're taking heart in solid truths, knowing the truth and feeling the effects and seeing the effects. Dear little children, you have access to God always. And then reading on, you have answers from God. This is where we'll pick up. If you're following along, we've seen when our heart condemns us, we want to see that God's love is always active in us. God's verdict is always acquittal in Christ, and you always have access to God, and now you have answers from God. Where is that seen? Well, picking up where we left off, verse 22. And whatever we ask, we receive from him. So again, to review, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence, good, before God, so we're approaching him. And whatever we ask, we receive from him. Okay, so what's the picture here? Again, apply it to prayer. How's the prayer going? Is it bold? Is it confident? Is it ready to ask something and to receive something at the same time? Because this relationship has confidence. I'm going into God's presence and I'm expecting. I'm asking and I'm expecting answers. So we'll ask ourselves this just because it seems like it's hanging there. In verse 22, is John saying that we receive anything we ask, period? Like without qualification, like you go before God, the master of the world, who made the moon and the stars, as we've already sung today, and we say, Lord, I'd really, really like to play center field for the Mariners. And I come confidently, and then poof, suddenly I find myself out in center field, and wow. Next. So is the Lord like a genie? Is that what prayers is? That what, or, Lord, we could really use another bedroom in our house. Poof. Bedroom up here. Whoa. Nice. Name it and claim it. The celestial Santa, the magical vending machine. Is that what prayer is? Now, that would be a sermon on prayer. But someone can take that verse and say, oh, see, and whatever we ask, we receive from him. See how that'll preach? Is that what John is saying? No. And in fact, later in the letter, he talks more about this. He says, if you ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Oh, so the requests are qualified. And we can get to that later. But here, verse 22 is not a blank check. As you approach God in answers for your will to be done. With that qualification noted, I'll read on. Listen again, all of verse 22. See it? Dot, dot, dot. We have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him. Because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. Verse 23, and this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. Why does God answer your prayers? Is it because you earned the answer? He owed you this? All of your believing and obeying and loving the brothers, and then poof? Is that why God answers your prayers? Why you can come before him with confidence? Now, I'll say not precisely. We've seen that already in this letter. Your approach to God, all the answers from God, they come to you because of what Jesus did, not because of what you're doing or did or will do. And just a little qualifier here. As far as how our obedience and our answers to prayer relate precisely, I think I'm okay with saying I don't know, or at least I won't pretend to know. I don't. If you think you know how the Spirit moves with the connection of your prayers and how the answers are met, the Lord is, his will is being done, evidently through his people and these prayers. And if you look with me at verse 23, I think you'll see how John does specify something, what the command is for the dear children of God that we need to keep in order as we receive whatever we're asking. And that is to believe. You see that? This is clear. To believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another, just as he commanded us. Okay, so here it is again. Belief, love, wrapped up. They're joined together. It sounds like it's one command, doesn't it? John, are you trying to have it both ways? It's one command, and yet it's two things. Yeah, you can't really separate belief and love here. And if you look, at least in the Pew Bible, I think you'll see in the Pew Bible that if you see the word in verse 22, you'll see the word keep in the margin, keep, and then a couple lines down, believe and love. Those are very tightly, just right there in one spot, practically a compressed summary of his themes of the letter. We have obedience, keeping his commandments, doing them, right there. And then verse 23, believing or faith, and loving one another. Remember, he keeps undulating and weaving together and bringing those, and there they are, just boom. Why all this? Because of keep, believe, love. That's where he's taking you. That's where he's been. And it's part of the solid truth that he sets before God's dear little children. We have access and answers because of Christ. It's very clear, isn't it? I hope that's clear. Asking and receiving in prayer. And we expect to receive. We're not hiding our face in fear. We're not feeling condemned. We're coming with confidence, knowing. Even knowing that our sin is real and our sin is nailed to the cross. So, God's love is always active in you. Check. God's verdict is always acquittal in Christ. And what flows out of this, you always have access to God. You always have answers from God. And lastly, you always have abiding with God. Abiding. This is a word that John keeps bringing up. Maybe you can see it right there as we look at the final verse. Verse 24. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. Abiding. Again, this is review in his letter. Abode. It means you have a home, a shelter, a residence, a place to rest your weary soul. You have a dwelling place. Verse 24 is bringing up the mutual abiding. You see it there. How do you know that you have this abode? How do you know? Again, this very deliberate word John uses. How do you know it? You live in Christ. He lives in you. You have these two assurances. Again, solid truth. One, issues and the fact that we keep his commands. So there it is again, obedience. Obedience as the test, as the proof that you belong to God. So there it is. You can ask yourself, when my heart condemns me, do I belong to God? And how do I know? This is how you know. He gives you a spirit, and we're reviewing these themes. You're in a right relationship. That's your relationship status. In a relationship with the Lord God of the universe. Post. And that looks like something. It feels like something. And there's a match. We have evidence of the outworking of the Holy Spirit set before us. objective, solid truth that feels like something. And in this last picture, it's one of abode, another assurance that you are at home with God. Listen again, verse 24, the second half. And by this we know that he abides in us. We know it by, verse 24, the Spirit whom he has given us. And if that part of the objective truth sounds subjective, meaning your feelings, that's okay. Because the solid, I don't know what babies are thinking. Like, are they doing a string of words when, yeah? Are they thinking, I am so pacified? I don't know, but they are pacified. And when they express that as they get older, it looks like something that shows I'm a loved child of God, and I need moments when I have something solid to chew on and to have the Lord place in my heart by his Spirit, and also to remind me that God said out loud and even had written down in his word and once written on my heart when it condemns me, that his Son came to me, that he gave his life for me. My heart needs to know that. He empowers me to live righteously, to love sacrificially, and to rest wonderfully in this knowledge, solid knowledge. My abiding is without a doubt in Jesus, yes. And this letter is full of these assurances, solid joys and lasting treasures. None but Zion children know. That's an invitation. That's a reminder that we're supposed to see and hear as dear children of God that we have something way better than the well-placed binky. I know I've said that. But here we have the very word of God written down in the person of Jesus Christ, in the flesh even. And even when your heart condemns you, you have every reason, you have every assurance to take heart as you grab hold of what? Solid knowledge. The kind that soothes and is able to say to you again and again and again throughout your life, God's love is always active in me. God's verdict is always acquittal in Christ. And I always have access to God, answers from God, and abiding with God because of Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, we do need reminders and reassurances because we not only forget, but we lose heart. Lord, for the times when we feel accused from within, if not from without, when we are restless in our soul because of our sin, remind us that you call us to live in a right relationship with you. And because you have not left us to our feelings alone, but give us your word, we thank you. We thank you this day and praise you for the salvation that is ours in Christ Jesus. And Father, for those times when our heart condemns us and accuses us beyond what is needful for repentance, Lord, we pray that by your Spirit you would be quick to comfort us, swift to assure us that we belong to you. We belong with you, we belong in your presence, and in your peace, and in your service, and with the full knowledge that we rest in you. We ask for this realization and reminder today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our song of response is one called, My Faith Has Found a Resting Place. Resting Place, that'll work. 436 is our response. Let's stand as we sing 436.